Westwood One presents Two Chairs and a Microphone.
Checking 1, 2.
Here's your host, Paul Mercurio.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this week's podcast. Before I get to my guest, I just want to mention, please go to iTunes and give us a nice review of the podcast. We've been getting some nice ones, and it's always good to get more and tell your friends about the podcast and send them on over there as well. My guest is coming up is Lynette Carolla. An awesome conversation with her. Before I get to that, March 2nd to the 4th, I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Punchline. So come on out and see me do some stand-up out there. March 2nd to the 4th. March 23rd to the 26th, I'm going to be at the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Edmonton, Canada. It's in a giant mall, so come eat, shop, laugh, sleep, I guess. March 23rd to the 26th, that's the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Edmonton, Canada. And March 29th to April 1st, San Francisco Punchline. I love going back there. Love the city. Awesome people coming out every time I go. March 29th, April 1st, San Francisco Punchline. All my tour dates are on my website, paulmercurio.com. And please follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Paul Mercurio, M-E-C-U-R-I-O, 1 R, not 2. If you do 2, you're going to get the Australian actor guy. And my guest, Lynette Carolla, CEO, host of the podcast For Crying Out Loud on Carolla Digital, and wife of Adam Carolla. This was such a funny conversation. She like doesn't hold back, talks about how she met Adam, talks about trying to run a business, and you know, she has a family, they have kids, what it's like working for Adam, who is demanding, to say the least, and professional complainer, and just really funny stories about how the two of them live together, work together. So I hope you're going to enjoy it. And please check out my tour dates, paulmercurio.com. And with that, I want to welcome Lynette Carolla, who just came from a car chase with the cops here in Los Angeles.
It was a slow-speed chase, but I made it.
What happened?
I was on my way and to get here, and we're in Culver City, which is weird because Westwood One and Adam did Loveline for years across the street. I had no idea. I am a Valley girl. I don't usually go over on these parts of town. Anyways, I was, you know, doing a good 87 in a 65.
Wow.
I know. Well, I grew up in L.A., and I like to drive, and I drive hard and fast. And
especially when there's no traffic, it's like you want to take advantage
of
it, right?
Exactly. So that's of shooting out of my area into traffic. And got slowed down by a cop. He had to pull me over. And
was it a undercover cop?
No, he was a sheriff, actually.
Oh, and you didn't see him?
No, he was getting. I hate to talk about this because Adam tells me all the time, your head needs, because he's so against like the ticket thing. You know, there's no reason to get a ticket. First of all, he bought me a radar detector, so I had it on, but I have it turned all the way down because it's annoying. It just goes beep, 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 beep.
Anybody listening, Adam is Adam Carolla, but you probably knew that. But just in case one person out there didn't. So he said your head should be on a swivel, that
and
kind of thing?
And he's a pain in the ass. Yes, that you should be always looking for cops and blah, blah, blah. So he was coming onto the freeway, onto the on-ramp. There's no traffic. I was flying. He, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, dear God, no. And I got pulled over, and he, you know, came over and he said, I love when the cops say this too. Like, do you know why I pulled you over? Let me guess.
You had
missing a windshield wiper? I don't know.
A recipe for beef stew that you really wanted to give me?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I said, yeah, speeding. And so 87 and a 65. But the good silver lining is, then he noticed my radar detector, and he said, well, I guess that didn't do any good. Is it on? I said, that's turned all the way down. Yeah. And anyway,
had the sound down.
I had it on, but it's annoying because it goes beep, beep,
but
beep.
That's the point.
I know, but like it always beeps. So I can't, it's like the little boy that cried wolf. I don't know if it's real or if it's not.
Well,
so
it's Adam's fault for buying you a cheap radar detector.
Yes, exactly.
It's all of his fault.
Thank you.
So what does the ticket cost you?
Nothing, because he let me go.
Oh, my God. Come on. Did you pull the Adam Carolla thing?
No, he said, let me see your license, and I gave us my stuff, and he went and he sat in his car for like what seemed eternity, came back and said, all right, well, you know that this 64. this is a 65 zone. I said, yeah. And he said, and you, I'm guessing you live close by. I said, yes. And he said, and I'm guessing you were, are aware you were speeding. I said, yes, sir. And he said, so I'm going to let you go this time, but just be careful. And by the way, tell your husband I'm a fan.
Oh, my God. See? See?
But listen, this is, I get pulled over and I get tickets constantly. But luckily, I haven't had a ticket in a long
you
time.
You Hollywood celebrities skirt the law.
No, I know.
I thought it was because you're a pretty woman as well. That probably didn't
and
hurt.
No, because I'm telling you, I've had many tickets in the past. Never have I got off.
You didn't slip him a bottle of Mangria?
I should have.
You should have. Do you know I pulled you over and then you should just turn holding the bottle? Maybe it was for this reason, officer? Hello?
Hello?
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I know I should have.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's so
it's the worst scary feeling in the world. That drive when you're slowing down to be stopped by a cop is that worst, like, 30 seconds of your life.
I was shaking like a leaf and you feel like a criminal. And then, you know, then it's like, you do that thing where you wait, like, do I wait till he pulls out and then go? Or is he waiting for me to pull out? And then I'm like, fuck it, I got to get to the podcast. So I was shaking like a leaf, but it's not fun.
You should have used my name, and then he would have arrested you.
I know, I know. I was thinking about that.
Do you know who I'm going to see? And he'll be like, no, I don't. And for bringing his name up, I'm going to shoot you in the leg. Well, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And thank you for sticking it out and not turning around and going home. And
well, I mean, I wanted to talk. I thought it'd be fun to talk to you because of you wrote on the Daily Show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I wrote on the Daily Show for a number of years.
Everybody says Stephen Colbert, too, which I am aware. But I go back to because Jon Stewart and I worked together. I don't know.
You did?
Yeah, before he was
John Stewart.
At
MTV?
No, before MTV. I wouldn't say work together. We worked on the same studio lot.
Here in L.A.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it?
And he was miserable. He was writing on the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, right.
Yes. And he was miserable, and he would come out in front. I was working for Carsey Warner, which is a production company, and I would see him. And I was introduced to him through, I think it was Adam's agent, or I don't know, like friends of friends. And I sound so Hollywood. This is not
no,
my life
fine.
At all, by
it's
the
fine.
Way. At all.
It's fine.
I have two 10-year-olds that I'm... Like,
no, you're totally down there. Boy, you have a big entourage. There's like 14 people in the studio. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, don't scare me.
She made me do her nails before we started, everybody. She's very high maintenance.
Oh, my God. If you saw my nails, they're terrible.
Let me see. That's a working woman's nails.
Thank you. See,
what is
jagged?
Adam having you doing? Are you putting a plasterboard for him?
I'm telling you, Adam is not... Adam... is no, because he works so hard to get to where he is.
Yeah.
He wants everybody around him to work just as hard. There's no nothing coming easy. He doesn't.
He does that with your kids too?
Oh, yeah. He's a little softy when it comes to them.
Yeah.
But with me, it's like, you know, if he's doing a construction in our house or some sort of remodel, he expects me to be involved and pick out the chandelier and pick out the knobs and crap like that I don't really give a shit about. Like, he married the wrong girl in that department. I mean, I love him and I really appreciate it. But, you know, he wants me to get in there and, you know, help the guys at the end of the day clean up. And I do. And it's fine. I don't mind it. But, yeah, there's no, like, we don't have a cleaning lady.
What?
So, no.
He's against it? You want it? He's against it?
You know what? We had one for a while, and we moved.
She couldn't stand him constantly talking?
She was like, all right. Oh, my God.
She couldn't drown him out with a vacuum?
I'm glad you know how much he talks. He got sick. He got sick of her being around because he's got all different hours, and so she'd be there once a week or once every other week, and he'd walk into his, you know, bathroom in his underpants, and she'd go, you know, and get scared and startle each other. And he had enough of that. And I kind of agree.
I agree with that too.
I don't need that.
No.
And if I can keep up, I'm going to. So for the last 2 years, I've been keeping up.
Good.
It's starting to go a little down.
Yeah. But that's all right. Let him live in some filth.
I mean, I got to do laundry and shit. Yeah.
So Jon Stewart.
Yeah. So Jon Stewart.
And what were you doing for Carsey Warner? Were you.
I was working for a producer for comedy.
Oh, okay.
I started in syndication.
Oh, okay.
syndicating for television shows, which is how I met Adam.
As a producer.
And now I started as first a receptionist, mm-hmm. and then an assistant, and then a manager, and just worked my way up.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to ABC, and that's the last job I had before I had the kids.
And what did you do at ABC?
ABC, that was the best, manager of programming and scheduling.
Oh, wow.
For primetime, and that was fun. Yeah. That was a great job. So I loved it. But so I'd see John, and, you know, he'd be out there smoking a cigarette in his black leather jacket and Converse and just miserable and hating L.A.
Why was he so miserable?
He just hated it. He hated L.A. He reminded me he was miserable because I seen him recently over the last few years.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about that. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was miserable back then. So he told me he was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was very sweet, very nice. So we talked a lot. We bonded over Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I've seen him over the last few years, because he was my connection to see Bruce live and to meet Bruce.
Oh, wow. Kind
of, yeah, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Maybe you could take the police officer friend of yours
there. I know.
So you, so did you spend time in New York at all? Have you always been L.A.-based?
I've always been. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and grew up in the San Fernando Valley. Came here when I was 7. So,
wow.
Yeah, been here ever since.
So do you miss any of that work? I mean, you're a CEO now, and you're running your own business, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But do you miss, and you have your own podcast, For Crying Out Loud?
Yeah, I mean, I used to miss it. I really, I was afraid because I always worked, so I was a little nervous to be a stay-home mom. First of all, it's boring as shit. And so, you know, and so then, and then Adam,
I remember watching Clifford the Big Red Dog with my kid over and over again.
How old are your kids?
I have one boy. He's 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is he? Is he a good teenager? How's the
teen? He's a good kid. Not too moody.
Really? That's good.
My wife's, you know, like, you got to talk to him about the sex stuff, and I'm feel weird
that's
about
coming.
It because my father didn't talk to me about it. Italians, we don't talk about
that
stuff.
Full-blooded Italian.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, my parents are from Italy.
Oh, wow. God, you're really a greaseball.
Yeah,
holy
shit. I know.
You also could pass for Mexican or Latino. You ever get that? Or maybe because
sometimes.
I'm just in LA and I think everybody's Mexican who's not. His new looks a little ethnic. And and so she's like, oh, you got to talk to him about the thing about masturbation. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to him. So I'm just doing it in front of him. I figure let him just
figure it out.
Yeah.
Watch
and see.
Well, I'm worried because the school sent an email that they're going to start talking about that.
And they start early.
I
had an objection to that.
Oh, you did?
And I went in and I said, I think it's a little early. I think he might have been 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And I said, my son doesn't need to have that. Once you put the idea of masturbation in their head, he goes, well, they need to know this. Certain places it's not appropriate. I go, what do you think? My son's waiting for a bus and, you know, squeezing one out?
Right.
I mean, he kind of knows.
Right.
Not to pull your dick out in public.
Right. I agree.
But, so you're going to go in and talk to them or?
Well,
them do
it's funny that you brought it up because I just saw the email come through last night that said, you know, parents, if you want to hear what we're going to be showing them, come to the school at 6 o'clock next week and we'll show you the film we're going to show and we're going to separate them. Boy, you know. The boys and the girls and the blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, stay-home mom's fine. But now that I'm actually in
the
group.
And it sucks because it's boring. Redundant.
Well, it is. It's so boring. And you don't come across people. I like to socialize.
Kids are 10?
They're 10. They're both in fifth grade.
Mm.
They're young. They're on the young side. Which I should have held them back a year. Because now it's like, it's I got to shut everything off. At 3 o'clock, and I got to do homework with them because it's tough. But
it's a lot.
It's a lot. But yeah, and now that I'm working, so Adam started with the podcast as soon as he lost his job over here at CBS Radio, and that was in 2009. And he said, "Listen, it's time to buckle our belts." Is that what they say? Tighten your belts.
I'm surprised he even had a belt at that point.
No, he doesn't. He wears Puma sweatpants and flip-flops.
That's what he's going to be like when he's 90. He's going to be sweatpants guy.
Exactly. But my son, same thing now. Same thing. Doesn't care. Wears the same, like, mismatched. His sister calls him Mitch Match guy. And, like, different color. He just doesn't care.
Oh, that's so funny.
Doesn't move the needle, they say. But, yeah, so.
So when he lost the job and started the podcast, you got immediately involved in that.
Well, he said, I'm going to start traveling and doing stand-up, which he never did.
Hmm.
And maybe you can appreciate this. So he said, you know, this is going to be a new thing for me, and I don't like to travel. It's depressing for some reason. And I was like, I'll go travel. I'm on out. But then...
And get away from you and your constant jabbering.
Yeah,
and jibber
I don't know
jabber.
Which
one. Does he talk in his sleep?
Oh, my God.
Does he
it's
really?
Like reading my mind. He talks in his sleep. I was just busting his balls. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say balls,
okay.
Dick.
All right, okay. Yeah. So
don't say vagina.
No, I won't. I won't say
don't
that.
Don't say grab the pussy. That's no, a Trump
yeah,
line. He trademarked that.
Very conscious. Yeah, I can't say that. The hell? Anyway, so he, the other day, he, it was early morning hours, 6:30. I was about to get up. It wasn't like the alarm went off or anything. I was just laying there knowing I had to get up. And he rolled over and he said, and he started talking, but he was making sense. He just like rolled over and said, make sure the pool meter is shut down before you go. You know, he's just telling me something, like giving me a cue. And I was like, all right, you could have wrote me a note last night or told what. It's like, Adam, what do you do? Like, and then one time, a long time when we were dating, a long time ago, and I'll never forget this, he turned over and he started talking, and I said, Adam, oh, no, sorry. I said, Adam, you're snoring. And he said, and he, without a beat, he just said, good, that means I'm sleeping.
Like, he's funny even when he's falling asleep.
How does he do that? Yeah, so yes, he does. He talks all the time. We do have a nanny, because at 3 o'clock, she helps me after school. One's got to go there, the other one's got to go there. And she's there in the afternoon into the early evening, and then she goes home. We don't bother her on the weekends. So she gets stuck. Sometimes I'm busy now because I'm running Corolla drinks, and I'm in my office working. So he's watching the news or something, and he wants to vent, and he'll go, Olga, come here. In your village, he always says that. She's from Guatemala. In your village, like, she's not from a village, Adam.
He's like a modern-day Archie Bunker.
Oh, my God. He's a mixture between Archie Bunker and Mad Men. What's his face? John Hamm.
Has it gotten more over the top? Like, you started dating. Was there a side to him that he kind of hid for a while?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you figured out, okay, I got my clutches into her, then the real, he takes the mask off? And,
yes. Yeah. Well, now, I'll tell you this. One thing about Adam is
he doesn't care that we're talking about him.
No,
right?
He doesn't care. He doesn't pay attention. But the only thing he does find out is where you assholes go and tweet him something. Hey, an Amazon Polycurio's talking about if she got pulled over, you know, because he does look at Twitter constantly.
So somebody will probably tweet that.
Somebody's going to. Thank you in advance, asshole.
Right.
So.
You know what? You'll be when he's mad about it. You'll just be busy in the office, and he can yell at your nanny.
Yes, Olga, come in here.
Yes. In your village, have radar detectors?
Would your wife disrespect you by going ahead and speeding anyway?
In your village. You people have a lot of children and stuff like that.
Oh.
So he was on the dating side. What was that like?
He was he's very down to earth, very nice, and to be honest with you, he was a very normal guy. Dude, and I.
This is when he was in radio,
right? Yeah. And I met him 3 months into Loveline with Dr. Drew, and he just met Jimmy, like, you know, I don't know, a couple months.
Jimmy Kimmel,
a couple months before
that. Was a producer and doing radio bits.
He was Jimmy the sports guy who lived at home with his mom, and I believed it because I listened to Kevin and Bean, and he sounded like he lived. I was so naive when I think about it. I was 22. I was 24 when I met Adam, and and I was, you know, dating in Hollywood and didn't like, you know, because I worked in the industry and guys are douchebags around.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And Adam came along and he was like, "Are you a single gal?" And I said, "Yeah,
gal." You got some nice gams. Yeah. Was it the 40s? Did he just get out of World War II?
That's how he talks. And he says he's in his underpants instead of underwear.
I've been on I've shows with him where he's used the word. So I'm sitting in my underpants.
Right. And now my daughter says that. She's like, "Sonny, you're in your underpants. Go get dressed."
That's so funny.
I know. It's crazy. So he came and picked me up on my first date, and he took me out, and he, you know, told me I had to get out of the valley and move closer to North Hollywood and where he was living. But he was very fresh into radio, just met you know. So, and, you know, he was.
And that was the time when he was working construction and regular jobs.
He was doing construction, but then he started really going with the Loveline, and then The Man Show came along, and then 3 years into dating, he, again, with The Man Show, he was busy, but, you know, and let me say this, he's a very down-to-earth, he still is, he's just gotten, you know, he's in, he's 52 or something like that, and he's just, you know, he's had enough, but he's gotten
meaning he's fed up.
Yes,
well, this business can do that to you right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and also, he likes to build, and the guys fuck up, and they don't do what he asks, and you know.
And then he's like, I could do it myself,
right,
and
right.
save the time, which is kind of what I'm ranting around the house, and my wife's like, well, then why don't you do it? And I'm like, because I don't have the time, you see? So over time, it's sort of...
It got a little harder, but, yeah. Say, as we were dating, The Man Show, then that kicked in, and then... Okay, this is a good story. Do we have Jimmy Kimmel?
Plenty of time.
All right, Jimmy Kimmel's a very down to earth. What you see is what you get with him. He's a very generous, because he's Italian. Like
there you go. He's a nice paisan.
Yes, he's a paisan. a very generous, very sweet guy. And to this day, he is protective of Adam and tells him, you know, straight up if he thinks he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing for his career and blah, blah, blah. And they watch football together still and all that. But as we were dating, Jimmy was married, his first marriage, and he had little kids at the time. And he said, kept saying, you know, Adam, you should propose to Lynette. And, you know, what's time? Why don't you get
there? Yeah.
And so he kind of got pushed into proposal. So he
proposed. Would he say when he initially just was like, I get around to it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard, you know, from Mrs. Kimmel that Jimmy was pushing him, that kind of thing. So she's like, oh, yeah, Jimmy, he's going to pop the question any day now.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he kind of got pushed into it. Then one night,
it's so cool that you're cool with it and, like, whatever.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I came home and I opened the door. So we were living together. My roommate moved out. She got married, and I was looking at living either by myself or moving in with the guy that I'm engaged with. And so I moved in with Adam. And I don't know, 6 months of living there, and now going into season two of The Man Show, I come home one night from work, and he opens the front door, and he's just bawling, crying. And I was like, who died? What's the matter? And he said, I'm sorry, Lena. I can't get married. I got to let you go. I was like, what? And he was like, I'm sorry, you're too good of a person. I don't want to string you along. I'm not ready to get married. You are. You deserve the best. And
wow.
I was a mess. I went over to Jimmy's house and laid on his couch for like a week crying. Mm. And I worked at ABC, and my boss was a Big Man Show. Well, my boss loved comedy. He watched The Daily. He had it on Comedy Central constantly. He was great. Wendell Foster.
By the way, I thought he was crying because they canceled The Man Show. That's what I thought. This other part, this is so cool. This is fascinating. Yeah, exactly.
So I would be at work crying, and I'd be in my boss's office, and then it'd be like, Man Show, Wednesdays at 8, and then a commercial of Adam would come on, and my boss would go, he would just not even look, just throw me a box of tissues, because I was a mess. I was crying. You know, I was like, my foundation got pulled out from underneath me, and I went to Jimmy's house for like a couple days and cried and was a mess. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. And Jimmy's wife was great. And Jimmy was great. Cousin Sal was living there at the time.
And while this is going on, are you and Adam talking at all on the phone?
No, I mean a little bit. He started dating the So what happened was he was doing Loveline TV for MTV. And he started dating the model that was a co-host on his show. And he went on the road with Dr. Drew, and Drew said to him, what are you doing? Like, and he wasn't, he was like, she likes me. She wants to go out with me, but I'm engaged. And I got, you know, the man, I got the juggies throwing themselves at me and blah, blah, blah. And it was, you know, he was experiencing life
for
the first
time. That was
part
of, like, yeah.
Yeah, I met him at 32, so, and he was a loser.
And then here comes this ball and chain.
Right, exactly.
You dragging him down.
I know.
When he can get laid every night.
Exactly.
Different woman.
Right.
It's your fault.
I know.
For having expectations and needs.
I know. So, you know, Drew said, you got to let her go.
Are you not going nuts now, seeing all this unfold?
Yes. So I was a mess. And one night I was on the couch and watching TV, and I was like, you couldn't like see me because the way the couch was situated. But Jimmy came home. I heard him come in the door. He goes into the kitchen. I hear him talk to Gina, his wife. And then he comes back out and he goes, really, Lynette? like, you could stay here as long as you want, but this is enough already with the crying. He's like, listen, he's not that great. Never, ever forget that.
Oh, that's
it
awesome.
It stuck with me. And I
was, did that make you laugh
it
at
did
the time?
Make me. I was laughing, and then it really stuck with me. And then I started thinking. And then my boss at work was like, come on, Lynn, I'll set you up with people. And, you know, you're only 25. You got the rest of your life. You're fine. Yeah. And I'm like, I think he's going to come back. I think he'll get back together. And I would talk to him once in a while, and he would say, no, I don't want to string you on. So I don't think so. I wouldn't count on it. I don't want to string you on, but I want you to get a house. I want you to live somewhere. So he put a down payment in a condo, and I put it in my name, and I made the payments. Mm. And he said, this will be your place to live, and it's all yours, and I don't want, you know, anything.
Oh, that's nice.
He was very, yeah, he's a very fair, very sweet.
So over this period of time, you're not dating. You're kind of holding out hope.
At first I was. Yeah, at first I was holding out hope, but then everybody wanted to set me up with people, and finally I was like, all right. So I got set up, went on a bunch of terrible blind dates, but was miserable.
Which was the worst? Was there anything that stood out as like just nightmare?
There's a guy that called my boss, and I would talk to him sometime on the phone, and he worked at the other TV station nearby, and I never met him in person. But he sounds so cool, and we talked and we chit-chat. We developed a relationship, friendly over the phone. The other woman that worked with me was like, I know him. Yeah, he's a great guy. He likes to go hiking, and he's an outdoors guy. And I was like, I'm not a hiking outdoors guy, girl. But I'll go out with him. And I had high hopes that he was going to be, you know.
Right.
And he had a mullet. And
oh,
he had, but not only a mullet, he had like the tight curl, like hair like a perm. But it wasn't like, I don't think he went to a beauty salon and got a perm. I think that's how it grew out. It was blonde, and it was just like short and all business in the front and a party in the back, and it was a disaster.
So he was like a guest star on Who's the Boss? It's a one-time non-recurring role.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Yeah. See, he was a one-time non-recurring. So then I just put it out of my mind. And then Adam's always kind of kept in
touch. And sorry, how long is this now from the time he comes home crying? Now we're like a year or two in?
Now we're 9 months in.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And then at the 9 month mark, he started calling and a little bit more. And then he said, how about I come over Friday night and we'll watch Boy Meets World? And because we used to watch the Friday night ABC lineup, that was our thing. And I said, all right. And so he came over and we had a nice dinner and he hugged me and I could tell like he missed me.
Mm.
And but he didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I was going to therapy and my therapist was like, she's great. She was like, just let things breathe. You're young. Mm. You're not in any hurt. Just let things breathe. Mm. Let the relationship, if a relationship's going to develop, let it happen. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You were starting to do okay. If you don't want to see him, if it's too hard, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But that's hard to do.
It was hard to do.
Especially at 25.
Yes. For a girl. And I bit my tongue a couple. So then, again, he would say, what are you doing Friday night? And how about I take you to dinner? Now he's taking me to dinner, you know. And we have a lot to talk about. So we're talking about the man show and this and that. And at the end of the night, again, I know when Adam's, I could see it in his face when he's sentimental and he's. Yeah. Appreciative, and so he hugs me, and this time he gives me a nice little tender kiss, and he says, okay, honey, I'll tell you, whatever, and then we just started dating and seeing each other again, and we were back to, he was back to bossing me around. Hey, don't forget to water the plants. Plants are dying. What do you walk past them
all? So he helps you get into this condo, and then he comes over and starts criticizing the way it's kept.
Oh, my God. And his house. Like, it's if you're going to be here, it's your house, too. So why don't, water the plants?
Why
like,
didn't you put that mayonnaise away that I took out?
Exactly.
Well, you're here. That's so funny.
Yeah.
And then how long of that, period of dating before you get engaged again and then...
Then I let
him. He has another nervous breakdown now.
Right, no. And then I said eventually, listen, are we,
shit or get off the pot.
Right. And he's like, I want to have kids someday. I think you're going to be a great mother. I think you're going to be a great wife. And I'm perfectly happy, but not right now, but I can see it. And I would be honest with you. And he's been honest with me so much that I trusted what he said. So I said,
yeah, he's
okay.
A very honest, honorable
yes,
guy.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And, even though he's an asshole, And when I say asshole, he's just a hard ass. That's all.
Yeah.
He's like a football coach is what he is.
Yeah.
So, and he said, you know, that's the future, but I don't know when. And then that was getting towards the end of Man Show. Now, Jimmy Kimmel gets the ABC gig, which was weird because I was there and Jon Stewart was going to be the, maybe the Daily Show was going to go to ABC slot.
Right.
Because they were getting rid of Nightline and all that kind of stuff was good. And that was crazy.
Right.
And I'll never forget when Jimmy came, I knew the chairman of ABC. He had a meeting with him before Jimmy Kimmel Live. And Jimmy came and he was in the lobby and I went to go say hi. And I was like, Jimmy, I'm so excited for you. You might get the slot. You might have your own talk show. And he was like, I know. And I said, you're going to love Lloyd. He's a great guy. He's a dude.
Was he really nervous about
it? He was.
He was.
Yeah, Jimmy gets nervous. He's there on time. He's very proper. He's very, you know, and studious. And I said, you're going to love him. You're going to, the executive, the chairman. I said,
Lloyd Braun,
right. And I said, he's a dude's dude. You're going to love. And then he's like, all right, already. You want me to punch him in the face when I walk in? I was like,
well, there's a great article, a New York Times Magazine article that came out when that decision was made, and Lloyd Braun is in it, says, so one weekend I'm putting in tape. This is the day of tape.
Show.
This is the day of tape of Jimmy, and then I'm putting in tape of John and Jim, and I'm saying to myself, am I going to – now, the Daily Show's all – now, you know, with Craig Kilborn, we were sort of at one level, then John coming on board took it to another level.
Right.
So John's hot.
Right.
Right.
How long John was in there for until that point? A couple years? Few years?
Yeah. I mean, when did Jimmy get the show? Was it early 2000s?
Something like
that.
Yeah.
So John was in, John came in like 99.
Yeah.
Something like 99/2000.
Yeah. That's
so, and Lloyd, it says in this article, I'm popping in tape with Jimmy, popping in tape with John, and I'm saying to myself, am I really not going to give a slot to Jon Stewart? Like, it was like he was, because I guess in theory, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy maybe.
No, you're right. Jimmy's like, huh? But Jon Stewart's Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
At the Daily Show.
Yeah.
You know, that's. And I remember talking to Lloyd Braun because we were, I mean, his office was like, you know, two doors down from me.
Wow.
You know, it's so surreal.
This is so cool. You were there in the middle of all this.
I know. It's very, thank you. You know, most people can't appreciate the story, but sometimes you meet people like you that.
Oh, God, yeah,
it.
I love this.
And I remember getting, when Lloyd walked by, he told me about the watching the tape thing.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, well, Jimmy's, you know, I love John, but Jimmy, you know, he's great. You're going to love him. Jimmy is, he will give everything 110%. Like, he did that, Kevin and Bean. Let's not forget, he won an Emmy for Win Ben Stein's Money.
Right.
I think he won an Emmy for Win Ben Stein's Money, and then he got the band show.
And by the way, I was up to replace a Jimmy on that show.
On Ben Stein. Stein? Really?
Well, I went on, Comedy Central put me on, you know, as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let me fill, Jimmy, like, stepped off to the side, and they let me do a segment hosting the show.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it aired and everything.
Right, right.
It really, and Jimmy was really super nice to me. Really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys were like, who's this shithead,
no,
whatever.
That's not him, yeah.
And then Jimmy was leaving, and I went in and tested for it, and it went well, and I was in that short list, and they ended up giving it to the woman.
Oh, that's right.
I can't remember. I think they wanted to kind of go a different direction and get more female viewers.
Right.
And I just loved that show, and I loved Ben Stein, and I was so excited. And, boy, I was so bummed out when I didn't get it. But
that's brutal, right?
Yeah, it's like 6 degrees of Jimmy Kimmel. We're all somehow,
I know, right?
Right?
I know.
So did Lloyd say to you what it was that put him over the top?
He said, from the beginning, when I wanted to put a late-night talk show in the slot, I always wanted a distinct alternative than the usual late-night talk show. Not that Jon Stewart's not an alternative, but he's got his kind of niche. That's what he does. And I want a distinct, I just remember him saying distinct alternative voice for that time slot. And so I'll never forget when he was walking down the hall. The first time he walked down the hall, he said, his assistant, Gay, that's her name, get me Man Show tapes. And I was like, what? What do you want those for? So then now fast forward a few months later, he says, and I know he's trying to make a decision. He says, Gay, get me Jon Stewart on the phone. And I was like, oh, my God. And I went and put my ear up to
this.
Oh,
my God.
And I could hear him, but I couldn't really hear exactly what he was saying. I didn't, you know, but that's when he called and broke the news
to him. Oh, wow.
And I asked Lloyd, did you just talk to John Stewart? And he said, yeah, it's brutal. You know, I hate doing that. And, you know, I remember him not being happy about it. And
John, yeah.
And but Lloyd kind of too. He was not, it was uncomfortable. He didn't like, you know, he didn't want to do that. He really, really
I admire
respects
him. He could have done it through agents. I admire him for doing it straight up.
He might have done it, but I know he called him directly to talk to him. So maybe the news was already broke. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I said, so you talked to him? And he said, yeah, but, you know, I really want a distinct alternative voice. And I think Jimmy's going to be great. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so great.
I understand that Lloyd also maybe felt, you know, we were so politically oriented that was a very narrow thing for a late night network slot.
Right.
And that it, you know, you have people that don't want to hear politics at that time of night too.
But on the flip side, it's like you could look at it like that way. But also, Jon Stewart, if you're putting him in a late night talk show and you tell him, listen, don't focus on the news. Mm. So he's a pro.
He's likable and
knock it out of the park. So he had a sure bet. And by the way, with Jon Stewart, but then he went with Jimmy Kimmel. And by the way, for the first few years, it was in the red. I mean, it was not doing well.
And they stuck with it, though.
And they stuck with it.
And why do you think they stuck with it? Because the networks tend to just, you know, hightail it out of there after a few episodes or whatever.
I don't know, but I know that Jimmy developed a good relationship with Bob Iger and so the head of Disney. And
he would shave his back every other week.
Yeah. Once in a while he'd wax it. But,
yeah.
You know,
and he'd manscape them too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so.
It started.
That's how you get ahead, kids.
It is. But I think, to be honest, during those rough years that Kimmel wasn't doing well, I think that they really just loved Jimmy.
I agree with you. You see it in business. I was a lawyer and a banker before this.
Yeah,
and you saw
I know. I know about it.
Anyway, so you see it there. But the story of Leno getting the slot over Letterman, one of the things that Leno did, you know, on his off days or dark weeks at the Tonight Show, as when he was, you know, guest hosting, it wasn't his, it was still Johnny's. When he was touring, he made sure, but he was one of the three official guest hosts, him, Shanley, and Letterman. He made sure that he stopped by the NBC affiliate, glad hand the execs, take some pictures with people and the staff, do a promo. Hey, it's Jay here at, you know, WNBC in Cincinnati, blah, blah, blah. And when the affiliates had to weigh in, and it's even in the Late Shift movie. There's a conference call and and I talked to Bill Carter. I was on CNN with him and he confirmed it too. They weighed in and was like, you know, well, Jay's been a real team player. And, you know, they didn't have anything bad to say about Dave, but Jay was real good. There was another story that the reps of one of those three went to the reps of the other and said, let's, like, hold out for more money for all three of us. And Jay's like, no, I'm taking my scale, whatever it was. And then why? He goes, because everybody's expendable if you get too expensive, and I like the gig. And I think he knew in the back of his mind there was a bigger, bigger paycheck down the road.
Oh,
really savvy. Smart.
Very savvy. Yeah. I'm telling you, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. I think that glad-handing, that, you know, and Jimmy is just such a nice, likable guy. He doesn't come off as Hollywood and fake at all.
No.
He's sincere.
No.
He'll send you something. I mean, my daughter, he hosted the Emmys the one before last, and Adam and I were going to go to the party afterwards. We watched it at home and then we were going to go, and my daughter was roller skating in the house and rolled over her finger, and ended up being a compound fracture. She had to go to the ER.
Oh, wow.
Adam had to take her. It was bleeding. She was screaming. It was a whole thing. It was a disaster. And I said, I can't take her. I can't even look at the finger. And so Adam took her, and I emailed Jimmy and said, just, you know, you did a great job. Just so you know, we won't be there, unfortunately. The next day, flowers show up.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know what I mean?
He was so nice to me when I was on Ben Stein, and like really and I've met him a few times here and there. No airs about him at all.
No.
And it's nice to hear that doesn't change with the success.
Right.
So he made it through those few years. And And was Adam okay with seeing his buddy get a late night? And I don't mean
No.
Because I mean, I know if I were in that position, I'd be like, whatever.
Yes. No, people all the time, like, how's it going? Like, Drew's got his show on CNN and Jimmy's doing something.
No, but Adam's huge now. But,
Adam wasn't. He makes a joke about it all the time. Yeah. No.
I don't mean now. I mean, he's as huge as they are, reaching people the same way in the same numbers, but just through a different medium. Right. I meant like then, before this empire got built, and you controlled all of liquor, which you do in America.
Yeah,
you're the you're the Trump czar of liquor. But anyway, was that?
You know what's interesting is Lloyd Braun wanted Adam. He really liked Adam, and later, years later down the road, he did a pilot, a CBS pilot with Adam.
Oh,
so he liked Adam and Jimmy, and Jimmy's always wanted that. He always wanted to be Letterman. That was his dream.
Yeah,
and,
I would love a talk show. I love doing talk.
Yeah,
I love it.
You're good at it.
Oh,
you know?
Thanks. Well, I just think. Thank God for podcast.
I know.
I was hesitant to do it because I'm another comedian, but I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna, I'm just gonna talk to people the way I like to hear conversations go, like instead of in 7 minute clips and then people are moving on.
That's the beauty
of
it. And that's what Adam loves because he doesn't stop talking. So he loves that 90 minutes of being able to talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's, I have to remind him, like, Adam, you had a guest in the studio and you just talked the whole time. You talked.
Oh,
to
you
the
have
guest,
to like, if you're a guest on a show. And there's other shows like this, and in radio, every show has its own personality in terms of the way the host or hosts want to drive the conversation or have the conversation. And with Adam, you have to surf his wave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't go in thinking, I've had friends go in and they're like, man, I go, you got to just forget about what you want to talk about. Have it in the back of your mind. You know, it's that old adage, like, learn the script and then forget it.
Right.
So you know you have a bit of this or a bit about that, but you got to really just go with Adam
and be
in the moment
and
trust that, you know, it's all going to work out, which it does. He's great.
It does, but and I feel that he could do a better job sometimes. And I just
does he acknowledge that when you say
that? Yes, I tell him and he says, no, yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm so yes, you're right. And then I'll notice in the next couple shows he kind of, you know, does the right thing. But then he just goes right back to it.
He's good with Drew. I mean, Drew's good for him when they do.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, Drew focuses it a little bit.
Right. But he wants everybody to be yes-anding him constantly, even at home. Like, it's a yes-and. Like, it's a better way to go through life. Why? If you got a, if you don't agree, fine, but make your point. Just go, don't just go, I don't know, I just don't like, you know, handguns. I think it's just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to have a handgun.
Yeah.
Like, well, make your point.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
From Adam, I think, I don't, you know, he had a terrible childhood.
Yeah, I know.
He was neglected.
Yeah, he was show. We talked about it. Yeah. It was
so
rough.
I think he just lived in his head, and I think he's, you know, I think it was a product of his environment, but also was that kind of a person. But maybe if he would have been a different, maybe he wouldn't have been so pushy to get his talent out. I don't, if he had a different lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you come from challenged means, whether financially, emotionally, or whatever, I do think a person goes one of two ways. They get consumed by it and maybe it destroys them or hurts them, or they say, I'm going to better myself be in that. I know with my son, I'm constantly telling him I love him, I miss him, because my parents hardly ever said it. Now, I know they did, but that generation, I don't know, it's the Italian thing. We were working all the time in the family furniture business. It was 24/7. That created a lot of tension. So I'm like constantly saying it. I make him give me a kiss at night before he goes to bed, like all that stuff. Because I try to break the cycle.
You are doing the exact same thing that Adam tells me, and I see it, that he does. He is overly, like, they get annoyed because he'll hug them and, like, lay down on top of them, like, wrestle them and kiss them and stuff like that. And, like, all right, especially Natalia, the girl's like, get off your beard and, you know. And so to the point where he asks his son, our son, Sonny, he says, are you going to kiss me on the lips when you get older? Because I hope you will. You're going to always kiss your daddy on the lips, right? And he's, yes, daddy, yeah, I will. He's a sweet one.
Yeah,
So I think, there's a little overcompensation. But I think it comes natural. I'm sure it comes natural for you.
Yeah, I love it.
But it is something that he does think about. Like, he always tries, if they say, let's go for a walk, and he doesn't really want to, he doesn't want to be a bummer. Because his parents were bummers.
Right.
So he wants to dance with them. He wants to go on a walk, act goofy, whatever.
I do the same thing. There's some days where I just don't want to get up, but I'm like, but then I go,
You know, have to.
I'm going to look back and say I should have, and you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. And you remind me of my wife. I think you seem, you know, we've only met once before this briefly, but you seem like the rock, the calming sort of factor in the house with a volatile, in a good way, person. And I'm like Adam. Like I can tend to go off. Like I get like fucking yesterday. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm at a network. I have a big meeting. I'm done. The guy leaves. I got like an hour to kill, so I'm just sitting in the, and I'm trying to get Wi-Fi. Can't get Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So I go around the corner. There's a woman in a cubicle. I go, excuse me, what's the password? She goes, well, you have to have a guest password. You have to get it from the person. And I'm like, well, he left. And she literally the whole time was looking at her computer, didn't look over at me. God. And then she goes, well, yeah, I'm about to go home. I was like, the Italian in me, I'm like, boy, if I could hit her.
Right.
It was like a little,
know,
little bit of a backhand, a little, you know, from the 1910s. And then she fucking got up, got her shit, and walked right past me as I'm sitting there trying to.
You see?
And I did the thanks a lot, you were really helpful, hoping she'd get the hint, and then go, oh, I'm sorry. Nothing. Right. Fucking
see,
nothing.
See, that's, first of all, I feel that pain. I hate that. But second of all, Adam talks about this. I hate Hollywood. I hate Los Angeles.
I think it's beyond that. I just think it's human nature.
Is it? Like, and when I go to New York, everybody's so nice. Maybe it's because I'm happy to be. I love New York. I wish I grew up there. I didn't. And people think I'm from there or New Jersey. I love the East Coast people. Chicago.
Yeah.
People are so nice. You go outside of the state of California. But here, it's just like everybody's out for their own selves. It feels like.
What do you think it's the nature of the business just creates an atmosphere for that?
Yes, I think
it is a me show business.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I've been out of the business for a while, so I don't know what the temperature is in the.
But I think you have to say something. See, my wife is like, you don't have. I think if someone's an asshole, like these are conversations I've had with Adam, and you know, like I almost got arrested. I pulled my pants down on 86th Street and told a guy to fuck me in the ass over a plastic bag. I stopped the train Amtrak for an hour and a half on the East Coast. From between New York and Baltimore, because I got in an argument with the conductor and he called the cops. I got in a fight over a 45-cent rent onion and got banned from this market across the street.
Oh my God.
And then I almost got in a fist fight over soup recently at a deli.
Oh.
These are all
God.
True.
I believe.
But they happened because, like.
They deserved it.
Like, the moment when I said to that woman, thanks a lot, you're a big help, my wife would have just went, okay, and walked away, and what most people would. But I have to say something because I think if you say something, they're going to change their behavior, and I view myself as like a human speed bump for the rest of the world, and they're not going to be an asshole to you. When you're
right.
So, but in the process, it turns into like a Larry David moment. I end up being the one getting fucked.
Right.
But
right.
my wife is like, you got to pick your battles. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to sort of say what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. And I get a sense that you might be that sort of stabilizing factor in your house.
I yes.
Even though you're probably a volatile Italian,
I do get a little. I would have said the same thing as you.
Yeah, because
that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Fuck that bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that. Come on. And there's no just this morning, I took my kids to Starbucks, which I never, ever do. But it was a treat because they had good progress reports. They wanted to go get their donuts before they went to school, which they never have because Adam's a fucking Nazi at home with the food. Like,
really?
Everything's got to be healthy. I mean, no. He will take them and get them donuts, too.
He makes some kale pancakes,
but
shit like that.
But he wants them eat protein, protein. Yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah. So, anyway. But, so, yes, you're right. To your point, I am that rock foundation kind of thing. But I do have a little bit of that vigilante kind of thing. Like, I'm going to save the society. If I set this person straight, hopefully that person's not going to do it again kind of thing. But, like, this morning at Starbucks, I was proud because the people behind the counter are working, and they're working hard. And the woman who was sitting in Starbucks with her laptop, she walks over and she says, is this mine? And the guy said, yes. And she said, and then she came back for another round. Did you call my name? And he said, yes, I did. And then she had to say, well, I didn't hear it. Or it wasn't loud enough or something like that. And then she walked away. And it wasn't that bitchy, but it was to the point where Natalia and I both witnessed it. Natalia turns to me and she's like, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Right?
At 10 years old, she knows
that. And I like that. Yeah. I like that. And sometimes there's needs where, you know, they fuck up behind the counter and they, whatever. But in that situation, when people are an asshole, you know, and maybe she's the vigilante and she wants to correct the guy behind the counter. I don't know. But, Yeah, there's times where I go nuts.
Yeah, and I think it's good to say something. But so I'm curious about how Adam's. I think when you're with my wife and I met in high school, so we've been together forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many years?
I don't know, 25, 28, jeez. 30. We dated 13 years before we got married. So,
right.
You know, it took, and then even once we were both, I was like, we're living together. It's fine. But she's helped change me in some ways for the better. So has Adam had, like, I think, you know, it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. And what has Adam brought to you as a person that sort of changed you for the better, for the worse?
Yeah, I will say I never wear makeup. I wore makeup for you also.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, I could tell.
Do you like my liner?
Yes, I feel like my mascara is fine. Because you're making me laugh and I was crying. I can't believe the onion thing. Like, how much was the onion that you?
I want this to be about you.
No, but
I go to put the onion down. I had a hamburger. I'm watching a football game. I'm like, shit. So the nice thing about New York, you can run downstairs and there's a market everywhere.
Yes.
And like one of these smaller markets. And I go in. I put the onion on the thing. I'm looking at my watch. I put a 20 down. She goes, I won't break that. Not I can't. I won't. I go, why not? It's too big. I don't want to lose all my small bills. I go, well, you can make the change. She goes, yeah, but I won't. I go, you have to. She goes, no, I'm not. And I go, no, this is the deal. I give you this promissory note from the government. It's called a $20 bill. You get your fucking money. Mm-hmm. I take my red onion and I don't put a bullet in your head today and fucking leave. And she goes, well, I'm not going to do it. I go, then I want to talk to the manager because I'm that guy. Like I always go to the manager. I want the supervisor.
Yes.
I go around the corner. The manager, I'm doing air quotes, is a fucking 21-year-old kid with his hat on backwards moving lemons around. And I'm like, this is how my brain works. I'm like, this guy's not a manager. Managers don't move lemons around. That's a low-level job.
Right.
He's beyond that. Right. So he goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. We just don't have change. I go, how do you not have change? You're a store with bells on the door and shit.
Right.
What are you running, a children's lemonade stand?
Right, right.
He goes, well, come back tomorrow. Take the lemonade. You live in the area and come back tomorrow and pay for it. I'm like, I think I said something like, no. I want to think I've accomplished something in my life. I don't want number 6 on my things to do on Wednesday, pay for red onion. I got shit to do, buddy. So I took the red onion.
I love it.
I took the red onion fucking without paying for it. I was like, fuck it. And they go, look, we don't want, just don't come back here. The guy said, don't come back. So the kicker to this whole thing is now my hamburger's cold. I missed like a quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I go into the refrigerator, find the beer. I looked at one more drawer and I had a fucking red onion in the drawer. And I missed it when I looked.
Oh my God.
Right.
How'd you feel?
I was like, I was kicking myself, and then I was laughing, and then it stays with me. Like that woman yesterday, it stays with you. But
yeah, it does.
But
it does.
But he sort of brings that to you. That sort
yes,
of
yes, I love that story.
It's completely. Like, I don't want to make it about me.
No, I love it.
But
yes, to your question, Adam has. We've been together 21 years, and it's a long time.
Mm.
And but I'll tell you this. When I met Adam, I grew up in a house with, you know, my mother barely, you know, she couldn't speak English very well. I had two brothers that are older. By the time I came along, she had the broken English. And then my dad was working constantly. I loved my dad. We had a good relationship.
What did he do?
He worked in advertising.
Oh, okay.
And then when we came to California, he got a job in the television stations.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working all the time. My mom was the Italian mom that cooked and cleaned and really didn't teach me any of that. Like, hey, the flowers need to be watered and this needs to be cleaned. And this, so I kind of, although I will say I did like scrub the bathrooms, I did my job, but I never really paid attention to homes, like taking care of a house.
Yeah.
And Adam, he the same thing, although Adam loves homes and architecture, and he puts all his heart and sweat and money into these places that we've lived about 3 houses now. And every time, you know, when you're doing that, you're doing it, and you expect your girlfriend or / wife to pitch in and, you know, and pay attention. Like if there's like, the rake's been sitting out for 5 days or it's going to rain, how about you turn off the sprinklers? If we know you got, did you turn the sprinklers off? You have turned a sprinkler.
So how do you deal with that? Like, because you start to, it's like, you know, do you push back and go?
Yes, I push back a lot, and then it causes friction, and then.
And you push back and say, look, just because you want to take on a big chore, that doesn't mean I have to join in.
Right.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
You're a big boy. You chose to do that. I'm doing this other thing.
Right. Well, that makes him 10 times angrier because I fucking built this house. I work for this place. I pay for everything. Blah, 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 blah. You got to pay attention. I mean, this is early on. Mm. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Help pitch in. You know, yeah. When I come home, I want to eat. I want to have a dinner. If you're not, you know, and I was working too, but whatever. You know, I don't want to go pick up the food on the way home. You should be picking up the food on the way home. You make the bacon, I make the bacon. Like, he's got that Mad Men.
Yeah.
You know, so at first it was like, it was tough for a while. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it kind of changed because we were dating, but then we got married and we, you know, went into the house together that he refurbished or whatever. Now he's expecting me to jump in and pay attention to what's going on, and I'm not. And it caused a lot of resentment. Although I have to say, and I tell them this to now, it comes easy to me now. I'm glad that he's done it because I like to be able to do that kind of stuff. And I, of course, he's right. That's the one thing, though. He's always pretty much right.
No, really?
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, technically, a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of women are just, you know, going nuts right now because it's a little misogynistic or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But technically, when I was home, you know, he travels, he hit the road when he lost his job in 09, started podcasting. We didn't know podcasting at all. And he's like, I don't know either. So why don't you figure it out? Help me figure it out. How about call the sales guys at CBS Radio and ask them how to monetize?
It's the same conversation that I have with my wife.
Yeah.
And I say the same stuff to her. Like, I say, you got to – her background is museums. She has a master's degree, but she works in my business now, or our business.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She – I don't know. Good question. She doesn't do jack shit, and that's the argument.
Oh.
No. She'll do the books. She pays the bills. She'll make sure my flights get booked right. She'll look at stuff.
She takes care of
content too. Like, I'll show her pieces that I'm shooting. She's got a good editorial eye now. Mm-hmm. But there are times when she's not. I'm a write stuff down guy.
Right.
I make lists.
Oh, fuck.
Lists.
You
and she doesn't
lists.
Fucking write stuff down.
Oh my God.
And then I get this. These are the two words on my tombstone or hers. It's going to say, I forgot. And I'm like, you can't fucking tell me. And I'll say, look, if you were working at a bank and I were your boss and I were the CEO and I said, I need you to do A, B, and C, you can't come to me and say you forgot. Just because you're my wife doesn't mean – now, I view her as an equal for people listening.
Yes.
But, like, I can't say to people, oh, I forgot. This doesn't happen. It happens a fair amount of time, less so, because she won't write shit down.
I'm reeling right now because it's like I'm talking to my husband. I mean, this is exactly.
Well, maybe he
list.
And I should move in together.
You two should live together, seriously. And he always says that. He's like, I wish I was gay because then I would have the guy, the other two big incomes coming in. Fuck you, dude. I could have had a better income too if you would have let me stay at ABC. Anyway, and a beautiful home that he would be taking care of while I went to work. We'd take vacations. Yeah. That would be great.
Right.
Lists. That's all. He walks around with buck slips. These buck slips, and he writes his shit down, and he ordered me them. He ordered me with Corolla Drinks, the logo, which I appreciated, and I came into my home office, and there they are sitting on my desk. I was like, wow, these are nice. And he goes, see, there you go. You just walk around. I got it. I put it in my phone. I write
no,
it.
No, you
I
forget it. You don't
an
have
email.
It. You forget. You have your two kids.
But you can't. But see, it's terrible to say, but he's trained me to say I forgot that you don't. He doesn't accept because he's like a football, like I said, a football coach. Well, he's like in his windbreaker.
Oh, you
got
to talk to my wife. She hates when she has to say those words. It's like setting me off.
I forgot or I did my best. And he even has a T-shirt because he talks about it on his podcast so much that says, "Don't do your best, do my best."
Oh, like, right.
Do your best. Like that's your best. That's all you got. You couldn't have made another second phone call or a third.
Right.
So, anyway, I will say I am. I do feel like I'm an alcohol company. I don't know anything
about
booze.
That.
Is hard.
So like, you have your own podcast and it's great. And do you like doing that? And sort of is that still your focus along with the CEO of the of the drink company? Like, how is this all working?
The CEO thing came from the publicist. I don't know. See, I don't even know what that means. I mean, it looks good on my Twitter.
You're CEO of Corolla Drinks.
Yeah, it looks good.
You have a pad for lists. You have to be the CEO. So what is your big is your big contribution, or what is your responsibilities with the drink business?
So just so to circle back and put it all in perspective, he started the podcast business and didn't, you know, it's uncharted waters.
Yeah.
We don't, and so I, you know, helped him as much as I could. I tried to do my best, and then he came up with some. He was on the podcast talking about how he made a cocktail the other night, and he made himself like a little, you know, like a mangria. And so he started getting tweets. Hey, Ace Man, I made myself a mangria. I put a little orange juice and this and then wine, whatever. Made myself a cocktail, a mangria. Next thing you know, Napa comes calling and says, "If you're serious, we'll send you some samples. We'll bottle it. You guys come up with the logo, and we'll bottle it and we'll do it." And that's how it started. About 3 or 4 years ago. And then it started taking off. And Adam at the time is still trying to build, you know, he's traveling, he's doing stand-up, and he doesn't love, he hates the traveling.
Yeah.
He hates doing, if he calls home and I'm out having sushi with my friends, he goes ballistic. He wants me running in place. That's what, you know, he wants me to, you know, be busy working. So,
you know what my wife says when I come to LA? It's like, oh, it's the worst because I'll call, which essentially are all hours of the night back
right
there. I need this. I got to do this.
Oh, poor
She's like, it's the worst. I never get any sleep.
Oh, I feel bad. Oh, thank God Adam's not that bad. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he doesn't. He knows better because, no.
But he wants you running in place. That's a great way to put it.
Yes, because he comes home on we've gotten a bad fight, so he comes home on a Sunday, and he's like, do you understand how I feel? Because he was stressed. How I feel. I come in on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and I walk through the door, and you're still in your bathrobe. And I'm like, Adam, it's Sunday at 10. Like, what do you want me to do?
He wants you in, like, the maid's outfit with
right
high heels. And
it's not my fault that you're
fishnet stockings.
Exactly. He made the choice to get on the first flight out, too, because he can't stand being in a hotel.
Yeah.
So he's the 7 a.m., does his show.
I do the same thing.
Oh, you too. You two should get together. I'm serious.
So he's building the podcast. This drink thing starts.
Right. So he says, I'm too busy doing this. You got to do it. This could be great. This could be something where, you know, it takes off and then I don't have to hit the road so much. And we have a nice little stream of income coming in and it could be fun. It's a fun. It's alcohol. It's booze. Ugh. And I'm like, and I'm not a big drinker. I don't even like wine that much. And he says, you know, I don't know the alcohol business. He's like, I don't know the alcohol business either. I didn't know podcasting business. You figure it out. You got to figure it out. And I started little by little figuring it out. Luckily, this is the last thing I'll say about it, is that when I got pregnant and
it was his child?
Yeah, both. I was with twins.
Are you sure?
Both, yeah. Okay. Well, one could have been somebody else's. I won't say the name. But the other one, definitely him.
Lloyd Braun's? The other one's Lloyd Braun's.
I had a crush on Lloyd Braun, by the way. And I was pregnant, 4 months pregnant, and Jimmy Kimmel came over and said, You're a lunatic, Adam. You need to get her help. She can't be carrying groceries and stuff. Even I have somebody at home helping me. So this kid from Chicago just moved out here, a friend of Jimmy's friends, and sweet kid, going to law school at night, working in a bar during daytime and making cash. And we then started working for me part-time, being my assistant.
Oh, because he knew the business. He or she.
It's a he. His name is Jay. So he started helping me when I was pregnant at home. You know, he was going out to get formula, and Adam was doing set. He was getting up at 4 a.m. doing morning radio now at this time and gone. So Jay, he was like my sister wife. And so he was going out and getting that stuff. That was 10 years ago. Now he graduated law school. He saved up his money while he was working at the bar, but also learned the alcohol industry while working for us, for Adam. He became Adam's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam taught him how to build. He got his contractor's license because of everything he learned from Adam.
Wow.
So he started doing contract. But he wasn't happy doing it. He likes this. And I said, Jay, I need your help. And he taught me with, you know, distributors and the laws and all that kind of stuff. And he and I just took off and boots on the ground kind of thing. And really, it's just him, me, and Harriet, our publicist.
That's it.
And that's it.
I did Adam Takes His Podcast on the Road, and I did it at Caroline's. This was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
and I wore Caroline's a lot, so
I go
in the back. Mm-hmm. Just so people, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, but I was shocked. They ran out of, halfway into the show, there were empty boxes, Mangria boxes. They ran out, and they had to send somebody out to a distributor, like in New Jersey, to get mm-hmm. more. And I mean, every table had at least one or two bottles. This is a 300-400 seat venue, and they're going ballistic. Like, we're out. And there were boxes everywhere.
I remember, fucking guys, oh my God. Adam was losing his shit because everybody's dumb and nobody wants to believe you. And the bar manager is like, what, Mangria? No, we'll take one case and that's about it. No, it's going to sell out now. We'll just buy a case, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's hard.
I have a constant internal struggle, which mm-hmm. is I don't believe that most people pay attention to detail. And so I have to be persistent to a point, but not to the point where I am perceived to be a pain in the ass, even though I have a right to be a pain in the ass, because then people don't want to work with you.
Right.
So this is a constant internal struggle of good and evil inside of me. I really mean it.
I believe you.
I can't tell you how many people just, to me anyway, don't give a shit enough.
I can't tell you. It's like, yeah, I'm talking to Adam. He says the same thing. And you're right. People don't. And how do you deal with that?
I'm better. I go to Carol, especially if it's an email, and I'll write it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, can you read it and make sure it's not? I have to make a phone call today to somebody because something's not going the way we agreed. Mm-hmm. And it's an important phone call. Mm-hmm. I'll rehearse it in my head. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I'm perceived to cross the line. But I think that can be people deflecting. So sometimes people don't want to own their own shit. So they'll be like, oh, but then you sent me four emails, right? Well, I'm like, well, I did because you didn't return any of them and I didn't know what was going on. Like that kind of thing.
Right, they want to take responsibility.
So I'm okay at it. Mm-hmm. I wish I could be better. And I wish I could let it go more. Mm-hmm. And I look back and there have been some times when I'm like, you know what, I obsessed a little too much about that one little thing, and in the end, it didn't really matter.
Right.
But when you're in it,
right,
and you want everything to be perfect, right, like you're saying, like Adam.
It's maddening.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word for it.
Yeah. Well, because I was talking to my therapist about it because of Adam, because he's a pain in the ass at home with the kids, with the breakfast and what they're eating, and he really gets upset about it. Anyway, she said, you know, if you can talk to him, it's a practice. It's almost like it's something that you have to practice. You feel that, she says, that energy coming up through your chest where you want to say something and you're upset about it or whatever it is, and you want to put people in their place. And then you have to look at it like, am I going to alienate people because of this little situation? Is it big enough?
Yeah.
Is it bad enough? Like you said, you know, is it something that's that important?
Yeah.
And she said, if you keep, you recognize it and you push it back down and you understand that it's there and it's an issue that you're dealing with. She said, the more you do that, the less it and less and less and the easier it gets, she said. And I trust her. She's really good.
Have you been doing it? Has it worked?
Well, I have to tell Adam to do it because it works for me, but
Is he doing it?
No, I mean, I just had this conversation like a week ago and I told him and he said, yeah, that makes sense. All right, whatever. But
he has my cell. Have him call me
and he
can rant to me and I can rant to him because the day doesn't go by where I don't want to punch somebody in the face.
See?
When the fucking subway door opens, okay, there's a hole. Mm-hmm. Somebody designed the car to have a hole a certain size so people could go in and out of the doorway, which is a big hole.
Right.
So don't be a dickhead and stand right in the fucking doorway on either side when you have room, and then now the hole is half the size of what it's supposed to be, and we're backed up to New Jersey. And I'm the guy, I'll walk by, the guy standing there, and I'm like, hey, you know, you can move out of the doorway. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this, and I've said it on stage, this isn't a bit. Mm-hmm. It's always, almost always minorities. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's like blacks and Puerto Ricans or whatever, and I have no idea why. Maybe they feel like this is all I have is my little square space of territory.
Right.
So anyway, enough about me.
No, but let me tell you something. Adam says the same thing. He even has a little bit in one of his pilots that he did that why do when an African American is walking across the street, they go really slow. They're the fastest athletes they dominate all the athletic, the track, the NBA, but yet pedestrians. They're the slowest pedestrians. Why? You know, he was talking to a
that's hilarious.
Another black kid about that. He has that. He
yeah, and I don't feel like it's racist if it's honest.
I know.
You know?
I mean, he recognizes the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
so what are you talking about on For Crying Out Loud these days?
Well, the podcast is we just kind of did it, and it's starting like 6 years ago because Adam was doing his, and I was like, everybody was like, you should have your. So anyway, I do it with another. She's a comedian, Stephanie Wilder Taylor, but now she's a stay-home mom. She wrote a bunch of books. She was like the boozy mom that got drunk, and now she's in AA.
Oh, wow.
So she has a lot to, she's really funny, and I love her. And we never talk. We don't see each other. We're so busy. But those 2 hours during the week, we get together, and we talk. And little by little, our audience started to grow.
Yeah.
And now we got some nice downloads.
That's
and now
great.
We got some sponsors and advertisers and
it's on Corolla Digital.
Yeah.
And you guys just sort of probably talk about this happened to the kid or
everything.
Adam.
We talk about
this stuff. Yeah.
We talk about Adam. She talks about her husband. We talk about everything.
Yeah.
Like being married for a long time, what that's like.
Yeah.
The torture, getting hit on. Like we talk about everything.
Keeping the sex life going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
If you figured that out, let me know.
Well, you have to do it by yourself, unfortunately. That's what we figured out.
You're your best partner.
As women get older, you know, and then the men get older, it's different. They have different libido. So
you're going to be able to juggle. I'm curious, what has been the biggest eye opener in running the drink business for you, like, or the biggest challenge or the biggest hurdle?
The people that are, I don't want to say the people, we've come across at least like 3 different shysters who were nice in the beginning. But then ended up being a pain in the ass.
On the wholesale side?
On the wholesale side, yes. Because we can't sell alcohol. We don't have the license to sell. So we have to have the middle guy that's like the distributor.
Oh, okay,
so
got it.
So these guys, you know, some of them, they've been in the alcohol business like 30 years.
Oh, yeah, and
then
they
start
tricks.
To, yes. They're like, it's a, they're
and they
like,
look at you and like, oh, look at this young chickadee.
We're going to tell them what to do. And they're like car salesmen is what they are. And they're that, like, nothing against car salesmen, but, you know,
they're
shysters.
Yeah.
And they see an opportunity that there's a celebrity, there's a platform to sell. And then they started like taking money. And it was we're still like trying to get money back.
That sucks. You're working hard to do a good, honest business, and then you got to deal with that shit on top of it.
But Jay Miller, my partner, I will say, who was Adam's assistant for 10 years and went to law school, the best human being I've ever met in my life.
That's great.
Like, just very, like, character.
Yeah.
All care has great character. Hopefully my son is like him. He played sports. He's just great. He's great.
That's
and he's
great.
Super smart. And he's very creative. So
and you keep in touch with him?
Yeah, we talk 25 times a day.
That's
so
awesome.
we're pushing this brand. We're you know, we have the IPA Endless Rant.
That's a new product.
Yeah.
That's a great name. It's perfect.
Yes, it's perfect. And we would like to do eventually, which is coming, seasonal different like double IPA and seasonalized.
Right.
I don't want to call it seasonal, but just endless different flavors and that kind of stuff, because craft beer business is a whole other animal too. So we got the wine that's a cocktail. Drink it cold.
If people haven't had it, put it on. I like it on ice.
You have to.
You have the red and the white.
Yes, it's not meant warm. It's not a wine. It's a cocktail. It's right. It's in the wrong bottle. It should be in a different bottle. It shouldn't be in the wine section. It should be in the cold box.
Yeah.
That's another story. I mean, it never ends.
Yeah.
So Jay and I are on the phone.
You'll figure it out.
We're figuring it out, and it's great. And we're traveling. We're doing bar crawls.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really,
Has
that been fun? And what do you do with the kids when you have to travel? You just leave them at home with cigarettes?
Yeah. Just go. Here's
a bottle of Mangrove and some cigarettes.
Right,
I'll see you in 2 days.
Right. You're going to run the family business anyway.
Exactly.
So
might as well learn it.
Yeah. Olga and Adam, thank God now, because the kids are older, so he can.
He can deal with it.
Yeah, he can take them.
Well, you've got the podcast For Crying Out Loud podcast on the Corolla Network. I'm not sure why you're on that network, but.
I don't know. I mean, it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
No, it's a great network.
Yeah,
great network.
You.
Obviously, Adam's podcast, huge. Everybody knows that. Mangria, the IPA Endless Rant is out now. Where can they get Endless Rant? Can they just get it online?
They can get it online. Everything's online.
Yeah.
And it's also in some BevMo's and Whole Foods. And you can go online and find out what location sells it. And it's across the country, too. Well, the beer is not across the country yet, just in the state of California.
Well, this has been great. I really love talking to you.
I could talk to you all day.
When I come back to LA, or if you come to New York, let's just do another one and just shoot the shit.
I would love
I'm sure I'll have a bunch of stories where I almost got arrested, and I'm sure you'll have a bunch of stories where you wanted to choke Adam.
Yes.
And we'll figure it all out.
Yeah.
And I'd love you to meet my wife. Maybe the four of us go have
dinner. That would be great. I would love that.
She's going to try to travel with me a little bit more.
That's
going to be great.
Poor her. I feel bad for her.
Well, you're the best. It's really great to sit down and chat with you. This is the first time we really kind of had the chance to do this. So go get some beer. Go get some Mangria. And go listen to For Crying Out Loud. When's the new episode drop for you?
Every Tuesdays and Fridays.
Every Tuesdays and Fridays.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Lynette.
Thanks.
All right. That was Lynette Carolla. Maybe some kind of an award for being married to Adam. What do you think? Incredible. So funny. And I want to do another interview with her because there's so much more we wanted to talk about. And please go review the podcast. And please, please, come on out and see me. March 2nd to the 4th, Philadelphia Punchline. March 23rd to the 26th, the Comic Strip Comedy Club in Edmonton, Canada. March 29th to April 1st, the San Francisco Punchline. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tell your friends about the podcast. Ask them to subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
A Westwood One podcast production.